Here's why. It's because when you're under satanic influence, you will respond accordingly to that influence. Unless you're being led by who? The Holy Spirit of the living God. And so men would do anything thinking that they're marching to the sound of a different drum. They think they're doing their own thing, thinking that they're going forth and they're going to strategize to destroy God's people, Israel. And not only that, want to hush the mouth of every saint on earth. Okay, want to wipe out what we know today as Christianity. Okay. However, I want you to be cautious about something, that God, through his great infamous presence, never included you and I, never wanted you and I to be so-called Christians. And you go, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? If you study history very closely, you'll find out that the term Christian was a derogatory term from the Romans. Okay? That's not what Jesus called you. Jesus called you what? Disciples. He told his disciples, he said, go into all the world, or all the earth, okay, into all the nations, and make disciples, not make Christians, okay? And people get confused because Christianity is a form of religion rather than a completely regenerated spirit by the Spirit of God himself. And that's why you see people saying a little prayer and you're never seeing a change in their lives. But when a person becomes born again by the Spirit of the living God, when that person's life is connected and become absorbed in Christ Jesus, then that person is changed. They don't do the changing themselves. Who does the changing? God himself, okay? Jesus himself said you must be born what? Again. And sorry that the translators of old let you and I down. They didn't finish translating the Greek verb there about being born again. It said you must be born again from above. Amen. I mean, it's directly from the heart of God, from the throne room of God. God himself does this. That's why a person can't come out of sin on their own. That's why Lord Jesus up there in Capernaum, he's telling this group of people that's really cussing him out and pointing their fingers at him. And I mean, they're ready to execute him on the spot because he told them that he's the bread of life that came down from heaven. Okay? And that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they go, are you crazy? And they was ready to take him out. But what he was trying to get them to understand, and that whole setting, that you do not have the capability to come to me on your own. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Okay? So it must be a pulling of the Holy Spirit on a person's life in order for that person to belong to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not something that you can just up and do on your own. And I tell you, I've heard so many statements from people, a preacher, I'll come to church when I stop drinking. But I guess we're going to bury you as an alcoholic then. Yeah. Okay? Or I got to stop this and do this. In other words, they got to get themselves in order when they don't have the capacity to do so. Only the Holy Spirit can change you and me. Okay? But given that breath, today is the day that we celebrate communion. And I wish others were here because you need to understand the depth of communion. Communion is far beyond you and I, our ability to just take a piece of bread and eat it or drink a cup of wine, okay? You need to understand that these are not just symbolisms. There's a deep, deep, profound message that's connected. And not only a message connected with it, it is life in Christ Jesus that's connected to communion. And you need to know where it came from. Where did it all begin? And why is it so tangible for you and I to celebrate communion, to observe what Christ has done? Well, that's what we're going to do today, is take the time and teach you. So we're kind of deviating a little bit from a normal flow of things, and we're going to cover the blood of Jesus. Because if you don't get this, if you don't understand the body of Jesus that was broken, if you don't understand the blood, then folks, we're going to miss a huge mark of what God wants to do with us. Okay? So, Dick, if you'll bring down the lights, please. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Young lady, are you cold? You need my jacket? Yes, Emma, go ahead and bring the PowerPoint up, please. All right. Escape out of it. Yeah, that should be it. Yeah, you're good. Go ahead and start. You're right. All right, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your presence with us. Lord Jesus, you made this possible through your death on the cross that sinners could come and stand before God who's holy because you washed us in your blood. And only by your blood, Lord God, you made us worthy to stand in your presence. And right now, Lord Jesus, we're under the teaching and guidance of the Holy Spirit so that he can teach us the profound things of what it is that you did on that cross. Why is it so important for your folks, your church, your sons and your daughters, the body of Christ, to get a hold of this and cling to it with all of our lives? Father, as your Spirit illuminate our hearts and minds and show us what you had your Son do, help us to gain a greater appreciation for the blood of Jesus. And don't waste our precious moments here on earth with idle talks and idle things, but to do everything that we can to love Lord Jesus and to cling to him and to help others cling to him. Because, Lord, what you did, you took people who were destined for the lake of fire and you changed our destiny into the glory and presence of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. We'll ask now, as I step aside, we're asking that the Holy Spirit begin to teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I love preaching just as much as anybody, but we got to get an understanding. And I'm going to keep throwing back upon you what King Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3 and also chapter 4. He tells you and I, in all the things that we get wisdom. Okay? And while you're getting wisdom, in all you're getting, get an understanding. It doesn't do the preacher any good to get up here and preach a sermon if you do not understand the deep things of God. Right. It's useless. Amen. And you cannot, the Holy Spirit will not transform a life that is not yielding to the Word of God. And I thank God that he's able to do that in us. And he puts us in positions where we can learn about him. So the blood of Lord Jesus, where did it all begin? Why? Why blood? Why something that holds life together? As we see in Leviticus, God told us that the blood is the life source. Okay? Why did he have to spill his blood? Go next. Go ahead on, Emma. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So this tells you and I that God had done something so unique with the human race that he had not done with all other species in creation. Do you know what that is? It's in the first part of that verse. God said, and let us make man in our what? Image. That means God said, I want them to be just like us. That's powerful. Okay? That means he didn't do that with a cow. He didn't do that with a monkey. He didn't do that with a cat, a dog, or a gorilla. Okay? He did it with you and me, the human race. So we're special. We're special. So at this great council meeting, do you suppose God knew what would happen to the human race? Do you think maybe it caught God by surprise that you and I would sin?
No.
Huh? Now, keep in mind now, there's not even a baby on earth. But yet God knew that man would fall. But yet, he said, let us make man in our image. Okay? Did he and the Son, the Word and the Spirit, know what Adam and Eve would do? Of course. Sure they did. And again, nothing caught God by surprise. Remember, God is what? Omnipotent? God is all-ruling in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Omnipotent means that God is sovereign. He's the sovereign God of the universe. There's no one that rules and reigns above God. Okay? You know how they tell us that the law stops with the United States Supreme Court? No, it doesn't. The law stops with God. Okay? Omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. In Psalms 139, David gave us a glimpse of that. He said, where can I hide from your presence or from your spirit? Okay? He said, if I ascend to the highest height, you are what? There. If I go to the lowest parts of earth or hell, you're where? You're there. If I go to the farthest part of the sea, you're where? There. So where can you hide from the presence of God? Absolutely nowhere. All right? Omnipotent. That one will tie your tongue. Say that very fast. Okay? God is all-knowing. Folks, let me tell you something. In your darkest moment, in the secretness of your heart, when you think that nobody knows what you're thinking, guess who knows what you're thinking? God knows. And when you're being sneaky behind your parents' back or your boss's back, guess who knows what you're doing? God knows. So it just blows my mind that of all the things that's going on in the universe, God still knows what's going on with a little bit of you.
Yep.
Okay? He knows what you're thinking while you're riding that Harley Davidson, Clinton. All right? He knows that when your pastor, you didn't know your pastor saw you cutting down on 441 the other day. Okay? God knew that. God said, yeah, that's my boy. I'm going to spank his butt later. Lord, forgive me for that. All right. Anyway, the creation of man. We'll take a look at it in Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust from what? From the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. We got a bleed over on the side there. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man who he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life. Also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Folks, look at me. You got to be able to glean this. It's some powerful stuff that took place there on the first day of creation for mankind. Okay? Everything was prepared. The earth is in a beautiful state. All the animals are here. All the plant life is here. The oceans, the fish, the birds of the air, all this stuff is present. Except you and me. The council meeting has already taken place. It's over with. Now God is getting ready to put his words into what? Into action. So now this is the part where we're looking at here that God gives us a description of it. In verse 7, it said, and then the Lord God formed man. So he took the dirt in which he had created, okay? And he took that dirt in his hands and he shaped one person. A lifeless figure laying there out of that dirt. And then something happened. What happened to my text? And he breathed into the nostrils. Okay? Can you imagine the first CPR in a sense, but it wasn't CPR. But it was God placing himself into you and me by way of Adam. Okay? And in that, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's the living Word, who created all things, now took that dirt and he breathed. That word breathe means spirit also. And it also means wind, depending on how you want to translate that word. And so now, Tamara, you're laying there with a big old hunk of dirt. Now you become a living being. Okay? Perfect. Perfect. You didn't evolve from a monkey or from a one-celled amoeba. You came directly out of the heart of God. Now, before we go to the next step, I need to put out there to you that everything in creation came out of the heart of God. Do you understand that? There was absolutely nothing in existence, and the Bible said, and God spoke. Where do you think the words came from? They came from where? Out of God. And when he spoke it, metaphysics took place. Atoms came into existence. All this stuff that took place, all that microbiology stuff that you learn, okay, came into place. And this big old universe is still unfolding. The Hubble telescope tells us that the universe is still unfolding. I mean, it's still growing. Because God's word is still going what? Going forward. And so it's very powerful, powerful thing that's taking place. Thank you, Emma. And so go to the next slide, please. Yeah. So when Father Almighty God created Adam, he blew his own spirit into him. Go ahead, next. And suddenly the shape of that pile of dirt became flesh and blood, unlike the animals, as we had said, who had their own blood. Get this now. This is good for you. The cow has its own blood, its own life source. Are you hearing me? Every species out there, even plants, has its own form of photosynthesis, that process that it goes through that turns sunlight into sugar and grows. It has its own molecules, okay? Everything has its own DNA laid out. However, you are different. You're different. Because when God breathed into you, God placed his own DNA in you and me. That's what makes us special. Okay? They say, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to cultivate it. So, God is getting ready to tell you something. He's developed this great, great place. This place, nobody ever seen it. The first human laid eyes on this place. It's translated typically in English as garden, but the actual word itself is paradisa, paradise. Okay? And can you imagine seeing a place with no pollution? The air is pure. The water is crystal clear. All the species and everything is so docile and humble and gentle. And everything is living together in harmony. Okay? And when God places the man there, those species automatically gravitates to him. There was no opposition. There was serenity. There was peacefulness and beauty and calmness. And it was just glorious. Okay? That's what God had did for you and me. But in that great place called paradise, God had trees there. Every kind of fruit tree you can imagine was there. But there was two trees in particular that God, you know, he highlights for you and I. And it tells you there, but from there, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and what? Evil. There, did you know that the tree of life was also in the garden? In paradise? That tree that causes men to live forever and ever and ever and ever, which was, we believe, a symbolic of Jesus Christ himself. Okay? In the beginning, we see it in the book of the Bible, and we also see it again in the last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22, the tree of life, which is, we believe, is another representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at this now, God says, now there's another tree that I placed there. And no one doesn't know why God places it there. Why would God want to tempt us like that? Why would God want to set us up for failure? I say to you that God did not set you and I up for failure. God knew exactly what he was doing. Okay? And please keep this in your heart. The first man and the first woman lived a period of time without ever eating from that tree. Okay? They knew what the limitations were. They knew what the commandments were. All right? So for the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Next slide. Note here, very important that you get this. Father knew the day that Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he would take on a different nature or a different spirit. God knew that Chrissy, even as beautiful as she is, one day will have a mindset that I do what I want to do. and knew that God, as handsome as Arve is, would take on a mindset, God, I do what I want to do. Okay? Because God knew this in advance. Yes? He knew that these young ladies from Newberry High School, they would have a mindset of their own. Instead of marching to the tune of the Word of God, they march to their own tunes in life. He knew that. All of us do that. Okay? Until we come under the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who by the will of God gives us a new nature. And that new nature causes this flesh to begin now to want to do the things of God rather than the things of man. Okay? Isn't that awesome? So, give me time to elaborate. Back up a minute, Emma. So, the moment that Adam and Eve would eat from that fruit, they took on a new nature. A nature that would rebel against God. A nature that's very, very harsh. And literally become the enemy of God. Okay? And if you notice, God didn't do something here. Go ahead to the next one. God didn't step down and stop it. Did you notice that? When he had the ability to do so, he said, no. Because he allowed his children to grow. Isn't that awesome? And as parents, we do that. We allow you teenagers to make mistakes to let you know that you don't know everything. Okay? The school of hard knocks will teach you a lot of truth. Okay? But anyway, look here. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to backtrack. You're okay, Emma, over there. When we sing in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, and let them be fruitful and multiply, and let them have what? Have what? Have what? Somebody saying have dominion, other will have lordship, have rule, have control over everything on the planet, yes. Including the serpent. Amen. What? Yes. Why? Because these spirits was not of this world, but the serpent was. And Adam had the ability from God to say, what are you doing? No. Did you know that? But he did. God gave him that authority. He told him to go and govern the earth. And you know what? And he didn't say it in the singular. He said it in the plural, meaning he gave equal authority in that to who? To Eve also. So you sisters, don't let men tell you what you can't do. Hello. That is, as long as you're not rebelling against God. Okay? Because if you're going to rebel against God, then the husband can step in and say, oh, hello. Or if the husband starts rebelling against God, the wife say, hey, what are you doing? Remember who Jesus is. All right, that's another thought. All right? So anyway, the woman said to the serpent, he didn't come down, and he said, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any of the tree of the garden? Okay, he's setting her up. He's setting her up. You got to understand the blood of Jesus. So the serpent is setting Eve up. Okay? No, Emma.
Is that okay?
No, that's me pointing. She'll learn my clues here in a moment.
Do that.
So, the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, okay? But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. So, good old Eve is now engaged in what?
Conversation.
Conversation, but what did the deacon back there just say? She's engaged in what? Say it again. War. What kind of war, folks?
Spiritual.
You got it. The first human being to engage in spiritual warfare was not the man, but the woman. And she tried her best with the tools that she had to do what? To defend. She's the first one who's defending the gospel of God. She's doing it with the very best that she had. And the man stood by and said, come on, everybody. Said what? Said, come on, don't be bashful.
Nothing.
Nothing.
He said nothing.
But the woman tried her best to defend.
She had the same authority he did.
She had the same authority. But. Okay, don't go yet, Emma. So the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. She doesn't know that she's outgunned here, does she? She doesn't know that this is an angelic being gone bad who stood in the presence of God for millennium after millennium after millennium, okay? She didn't know that this adversary was so great that it takes divine intervention to defeat him. She didn't know that what she was up against. However, she also didn't recognize that she had a power within her that was greater than his power. Hello, somebody. Come on. So from the beginning, God had given them dominion. So that means she had authority to step out and say,
not today.
Not today, devil. Okay? She had the authority to grab that old serpent by the neck and sling his butt to the ground and say, get out of here. And don't you ever try this again. And all the man had to do was stand back, put his hands on his hips and say, and I guess you got that, huh? And just stood and back her up. But that didn't happen. And you know what? Symbolically, a lot of us are that way today. We still stand by, guys, and we allow the enemy to trample on the things of God. And certain people try their best to defend, and those of us who've been given the power to step in and help out, we don't do that. We allow God's people to get battered and bruised, and we don't want to stand up for what's right in the eyes of Christ. Okay? We'll stand up if we think a traffic cop is erroneously giving us a ticket, right? Or we'll go to court and we'll try to defend against that. But what about the things of God? This woman stood up. She fell. But she failed trying. Did you see that? I didn't know this either. One day the Holy Spirit pointed it out to me and said, don't you allow them to get Eve such a bad rap. Because she did. She was the first human to defend the gospel. She was the first one to defend the things of God. The first one to engage in spiritual warfare. Where was the man? Standing right there beside her and did nothing. But like we all used to do, wanted our bellies fed. Let me move on a little faster. Back camera one.
You said move on.
I said let me move on. So, I'm about to train that child. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will now be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you will be God. You will be a God, Chrissy. You will be a God, Egamorn. You'll be a God, Vicky. Tamara, if you do this, you're going to be a God like God.
Amen.
Okay? If you do this. Folks, I want to ask you this. When God created man and woman and gave them dominion over all the earth, did he give them divinity?
No.
No, he did not. That's one thing God kept for himself. He never gave any of his creatures, including the angels, divinity. Never.
Never.
Gave man a lot of wonderful stuff that day when he created him, but he never gave him that. And Satan crossed the line when he said that. He had already crossed the line by coming in their line. But he really, really gave himself a fatal blow when he said that. Because there's only one God. So So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her. And he ate. With her means close proximity.
Yes.
Mr. Biker, that means the husband and the wife was together.
Yes.
During this hour of temptation.
Amen.
And the husband did nothing. Or shall we say proper English, didn't do anything. The blood of Jesus. That's the punchline, people. You got to get this. Because up to this point, everything was okay in heaven and on earth. There had been a battle in heaven take place. That's why the serpent was set up himself. Because an evil spirit who was kicked out of heaven had now become a rogue agent and was against God. And it came out of God's precious creation called man. And his name is Satan. The blood of Jesus is so important for you to get it. You need to know why. Why did Jesus have to shed his blood? Because before he became Jesus in the flesh, he was also a spirit. So he came from heaven as a spirit and took on flesh and blood. Are y'all getting this? Young ladies back there? Okay, Emma, now you may proceed. Go on.
Oh, keep going?
Keep going. All right. So Adam didn't know that a new spirit of nature awaited him. He didn't know that his spirit was going to change. He didn't know that his nature was going to go from one that was loving and obedient to one that is now rebellion. He didn't know that. Eve didn't know that either. But who knew that? God knew that. And the serpent had an idea about it because he said, God knows the day that you eat thereof that your eyes will be open and you know good and evil just like God. He knew something would happen to them. But they didn't because God never revealed that part to them. All right? So the nature of the serpent, known as Satan, devil and dragon, from Revelation 12:9, so they would take on that nature. So now they had another father. Uh-oh, what are you saying? By taking on the nature, that kind of rebellious nature, they take on the nature of their new father, the devil himself. How do we know this? Because in John chapter 8, when Jesus is in confrontation with the Jews there in Jerusalem, he tells them, he said, you're just like your father, the devil, who's a liar, because he's the father of the lie. So you take on the nature of your father. He did. He told them. Go ahead and read John chapter 8. He said, you're just like your father. Woo! How would you like to be told that? Man. But in reality, it applies to us all until Jesus Christ saves us.
Amen.
Then God becomes our father again. Okay? Paul even said that we were children of wrath in Ephesians chapter 2. By nature, children of the evil one. Wow. All right. Notice that the serpent spirit did not possess Adam. It clothed him with deception and rebellion. In other words, Adam's blood became contaminated. Adam's blood became contaminated with that of the serpent in the spirit, the evil one called Satan. Okay? So something had to happen to the human race. Because when Adam and Eve joined themselves together, okay, in copulation, folks, The tainted blood produced a tainted baby. Are you hearing me? And the evidence of that was Cain, that the blood was contaminated because Cain grew up in the normal nature of himself. And he eventually rebelled against God, and then he turned around and did what? Killed his brother. Well, was he acting outside of his nature? No. He was acting within his new nature. Corrupt seed produces corrupt what? Fruit. So Adam and Eve have become corrupted. And that's what you see out here in the world. But Lord Jesus Christ saying that you must be born again. So God has to rebirth every human to take that corruptness out of them. Amen? Now the blood was shed so that you can be forgiven, that the sin part is washed away. But God changes the spirit. He changes the spirit. That's what we got to get in our hearts, young man, that you are a rebellious knucklehead until the Spirit of God changes you. Amen? Amen? Amen. I said, why the preacher call the names up here? Because I fit that mold also. Amen? Now I am a gone. The first Passover. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Something getting ready to happen here. Folks, 3,500 years ago, thousands of little lambs were about to be slain. Their blood had to be shed in order to save a nation of people. There had to be a lamb for every household, and if the household was too small, they had to share it with another household. You got to get this here deep within you to understand what God is doing here. Israel was the first model of blood being shed for humankind. Are you getting this? Ordered by God Himself. So you grow up this little lamb that you may even fallen in love with, 1 year old, and God said, I want you to slaughter it. Yes. I want you to take your little baby ewe lamb, and I want you to cut its throat, drain its blood in a basin, and then I want you to take it and do something with this body. Next slide, Emma. Graphic? Yes. Folks, you need to know the truth. Okay? And if the household is too small for the lamb, for him and his neighbor next to his house are to take to the number of persons according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. In other words, can't have any birth defects. You can't bring in a blind lamb, a crippled lamb, a lamb that had any kind of abnormalities on it from birth. So you have to watch over this lamb for that first year and allow it to grow healthy. Okay? And God said, then you're to get this lamb and then you're going to do this. Okay? You're getting ready to sacrifice it. Next, Emma. Now you should keep it until the 14th day of the same month. So once you go and get it, you got 2 weeks. Look over it. Examine it. Make sure it's good. Right, Chrissy? Get it ready. All right. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Anybody know what twilight is?
Twilight when it starts coming out, right?
You betcha.
At dusk.
He said, when the sun is going down, we shall kill it. It's also interesting, this is also the beginning of the new day for Israel. 6 o'clock is the beginning of a new day for Israel. thought you were getting up to teach with me. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. So that was a purpose for the blood being shed. Okay? And we're getting ready to see God do something so amazing here. And you go, oh, that's just bad. The lamb had to die. Its blood had to be shed. Yep. But guess what? It's either the lamb or you. Emma.
Next.
Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. That means something happened to the body. They had to consume it. We will see into the future later. Jesus Christ would tell people up in Capernaum, you have to drink my blood and you have to eat my flesh. We're going, you are crazy. You're beside yourself. You've lost your mind. Asking us to commit to cannibalism. Well, this thing is deeper than what you can understand. All right? Deeper than what you and I can understand it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its leg and its entrails. What's the entrails, Shelly?
Good.
Yep. After you drain the blood from it, take it and put it on a spindle and put it over the fire just like it is. And once all that burned off and is roasted, you go and pluck it and you begin to do what? Eat it. Okay. And you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Next slide, Emma. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. The Lord's Passover. Verse 12. Powerful message. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. That's the demonic folks. That's the spirit world. God said, I'm not just going to get man, but I'm going to get who? I'm going against the demonic. Okay? This is deep. So, and I will execute judgment. In other words, God said, I will take them out. I am the Lord. Folks, what we're about to see here, what will take place 1,500 years into the future from this day here, is God's Son hanging on a cross. Not only by his blood does he save mankind, but by his death, burial, and resurrection, he goes after the gods of the earth. He goes after. Say again? Amen. You can say amen. He goes after Satan himself. This was just symbolic of what God's Son himself would do by becoming the sacrificial lamb, by becoming the priest, and by becoming who he is as the Son of God. And he goes after the forces of darkness. All the people on the ground who's standing at the base of that cross, all they could see was Jesus hanging on the cross. All they could see was a body that was beaten and battered beyond recognition. They didn't know what was behind the scene. They didn't know that God had taken Jesus and went into the spirit world and did a great victory against the forces of darkness. Just like God had did earlier in Egypt. Instead of God doing it himself, this time his son Jesus, who essentially is who? God. So, pretty powerful stuff. Go ahead, Emma. Back up. Now the blood, verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you. Or do what? Destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. That night, It's going to be a great cry in Egypt. God was going to kill some folks. Egypt was the most powerful nation on earth at that time. And greater numbers, millions upon millions of them. And that night, God with the angel of death went through the land of Egypt. And he struck the firstborn of Egypt, of man and of beast. And also God struck out against the spirit world that night. So that was a great cry in Egypt, in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. God hit them both at the same time. Woo! Come on. Chrissy got that far. God hit them both. He took them both out. But that was only a remnant of what God would do in the future. God, by Jesus, is going to come after the entire human race and going to come after the entire army of Satan and Satan himself. You understand me? But if you don't have the blood on the doorpost of your heart and on the lintel of your heart, God will not allow Jesus to pass over you on the day of judgment. Because when God that night, when he came down and saw the blood on the door, go to the next one, sweetheart. Go on, next one. Next one. Yep, go on, next one. Keep going, keep going. Okay? One more. So when the angel of death came, you see this slide? When he came, when he passed at midnight, it said, and did you see this? And it says in 12:29, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of captives or slaves who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. And it said, told Moses also, he would go against the gods of Egypt too. So the angel, he came looking. And if he didn't see blood, death came to that house. Oh, by the way, if you go back and study the text very carefully in chapter 12, he said it didn't matter if it was man or woman. If it was the firstborn, God killed it. Tradition tells us he only struck the firstborn who was male. That's not true. Go back and look at chapter 12. He specifically says, man or girl. Who was the firstborn? So you cute little babies back here, you ladies, if you were the firstborn and there was no blood, God took you out. Okay? Next slide. So Moses and the blood. Now they've been liberated. Egypt let him go. Pharaoh's army is dead. You're in the wilderness. Different time zone, huh, Chrissy? The wilderness, other words, the desert. Something amazing is happening. God has already stepped down on Mount Sinai, Shelley. Israel have saw the glory of God on the mountain. They heard God speak directly to them. Now God got Moses doing something with the blood. This is huge. You got to get this, young folks sitting back there. Not many of you here today, but you need to understand this. They said, look at this. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant, or the book of the law. Yes. And read in the hearing of the people. In other words, the people heard the word of God. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Wow, preachers like to hear that today, don't we? We want to hear the whole congregation says, whatever you tell us, preacher from God, that we will do. Boy, wouldn't we like to see that today? And then in verse 8, this is the part that you need to concentrate on. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. It was a blood covenant. The covenant was now sealed in blood. Although the promises of God to the nation of Israel, God sealed it with what? blood. Okay, Emma, let's walk through it real quick. No. Go to the next one. Oh. We got to fast forward here. Go on. So we're now 1,500 years into the future. Hold up. All right. So we know a lot of people were set free. 2.5 million people were baptized as they passed through the Red Sea. The testimony of God's intervention in the lives of his children spread rapidly. We see that in Joshua. Go to the next one. Moses continued to teach the preaching, preach to the people, tell them that in verse 18, he said, I will raise up a prophet from among your countrymen like you. Talking about Jesus. Moses is looking into the future. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Jesus would be that prophet. Next, Emma. So he continues. He takes them back, remind us, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. Okay? Folks, that's the promise. That was the first promise that God was going to send a deliverer. Okay? God told the serpent that what was going to happen to him that day in the garden. All right? God's saying, I'm going to send someone. He's going to get you. Okay? Then I will bless those who bless you. He's now talking to Abraham. He's telling us now that seed got to come through somebody, right? Well, it's coming through an old man by the name of Abraham. And he said, and I will take that and I will be a blessing through you to all the nations of the world. Amen. Amen? How's that done? We're going to see. Go ahead, Emma. Continue on. Continue on. Some of this I'm going to fast by. Go ahead, Emma. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Go ahead. Oh, back up one. Back up one. One more. All right, right here. I want you to stop right here. This is now 700 years before that seed is coming into the world. 800 years have passed by. All right? After Moses has spoken to the nation of Israel. Now the prophet Isaiah is now talking by way of the mouth of God, by the Spirit of God. Okay? Here's what's happening. Isaiah at this point in Isaiah 53 is getting ready to tell us what's going to happen to the Messiah. And it's going to give us a very descriptive detail of his suffering. And in this, he's known as the suffering servant. Okay? And God is about to point out some things. And I can only imagine that while Isaiah is writing this down, he's probably weeping. Because he's seeing this in a vision from God as he's writing this stuff down. Okay? So he tells us, therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty of the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Okay, what do you mean by he was numbered with the transgressors? Anyone know? Who was hanging on his left and on his right on the cross? Okay? Those are the transgressors. Wonderful how God fulfills his promise, huh? Yet he himself bore the sin of many and intercede for the transgressors. All right. Jump down here and he said, and he saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him and his righteousness upheld him. There was no one else that could do the job of Jesus, people. Nor could anyone deliver Jesus from the cross. This had to be the work of Jesus and Jesus alone. No one else could do this. Next slide, Emma. Y'all getting tired? Wake up. Should have went to bed on time last night. And then, kind of back up a little bit there, not you, Emma. In retrospect, King David is now looking into the future by the Holy Ghost. And he sees Jesus on the cross. This is huge. King David was also a prophet. I don't know if y'all was aware of that. He wasn't just the king of Israel. He was also a prophet. He was also a singer. You'd have loved him, a musician. So he's getting a revelation knowledge from God now. And he's writing down what Jesus is going to say on the cross. Young ladies, are y'all aware of that? 1,000 years before Jesus went to the cross, David is now having a revelation knowledge. He's in his palace, right? And God is showing him this stuff, Miss Vicky. So he's going, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And we see that Eli, Eli, Shama, Sabathani, which is written in Aramaic. We see Luke records that. We're saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? And we don't know why he didn't record the rest of it, because as you read the rest of it, we find out that God didn't abandon him. Okay? But people get in the pulpit and they preach, God abandoned Jesus, turned his back on him. No, God did not. Okay? All who see me snare at me, they separate with the lip, they wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Right. Psalm 22 is the entire suffering of Christ. Read it. For dogs have surrounded me. Anybody know what dogs are in Scripture? Here? Anyone know? Dogs are Gentiles. You and me. We were called dogs. Even Jesus called us dogs. Why would he do that? He's God. Do what he want to do. Okay? I'm cool with that. God bless you. So who were there not Gentiles surrounding Jesus at the foot of the cross? Was it not Roman soldiers all around him? Not only dogs, he said, a band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hand and my feet. How did David know that? God showed him. It's amazing, isn't it? 1,000 years before it happened. Next slide, Emma. For zeal for thy house is consuming, for the reproach of those who reproach me, they have fallen on me. Hey, look, God, for jealousy, they came after me. That's what Jesus said. They went after me. And they were. If you understand the whole context about the religious leaders of Israel, they were envious of Jesus. They did not want him to come and take their place. Because one of their statements was that we got to stop him unless the Romans come in and they upset us because of him. They didn't want to be replaced. Okay? They also gave me gall for my food. And for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. You remember that was which was on the sponge when it was hanging on the cross and they said, I thirst. And they put it. Guess what they dipped it in? Sour vinegar mixed in with a little medicinal stuff to kind of prolong his suffering on the cross. Wow. Now, folks, written long before it happened, Psalm 69. Woo! I also have become a reproach to them. When they see me, they wag their head. Otherwise, they were poking fun at me. Chrissy, you do that too. Look at you. And they stick the tongue out at him. I can see Emma doing that, walking by the car. It got you. I'm messing with Emma because she messed with me a lot. But Psalms 109, it's there. Okay? All these things. And, wow. Come on, Emma. We got to run with this. No, go ahead. Keep going. You're going. Now, here's the part that you got to understand. If Jesus didn't shed his blood, there would be no lifeline for you and for me. And Moses, under the guidance of God, in the book of Leviticus, the book of the priests, tells you and I, for the life of the flesh is the blood. So Jesus took his life, the life out of his flesh, his blood, and he shed it for who? For who? For us. This is deep. Okay? Next slide, Emma. Prophet Isaiah. I mean, Zechariah here saying, does Jesus triumph in entry as he's riding into Jerusalem 490 years before it happened, Chrissy? Wow. Go ahead, Emma. Watch it forward. Go on.
Going?
Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Make it happen, girl. Make it happen. You're doing good. Come on. Amos and all of them, stop. His birth. Go on. The announcement of his birth. Go ahead. Get going. All right. Freeze right there. He's now here, folks. He's 30 years old. You notice I kind of jumped through some slides. It took a while to prepare this class. But for the sake of time, because we're going to do communion here. We really should be doing it right now. But I want you to understand why you have to do communion. Isaiah said that by his stripes we are healed. That every whiplash was for your healing. Okay? You need to understand that. And every drop of blood that he shed was for your life. So that's why it says, take, eat, this is my body that was broken for you. Take and drink, this is my blood. Without the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sin. That means you would die and go to hell. Hell, temporary holding place. By way of hell, directly to judgment, directly to the lake of fire. Okay? Next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John called him what it was. Never before had any man been called a lamb. Are you aware of that? But he just didn't call him any lamb, did he?
The Lamb of God.
He called him the Lamb of God. He does what? Takes away the sin of the world. And I imagine James and John, who was standing there, and Andrew and Peter, they didn't understand that. But they would later understand it. They would preach it. Okay? Next summer. Jesus being baptized, and God would say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Extraordinary things taking place. The Father from heaven, Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove, Jesus standing in the water, the entire Godhead present. Next slide, Emma. Y'all, can y'all bear with me just a little bit longer? I really want to get you this. Go ahead.
Going?
Yes. Back up, back up, back up, back up. Right there. The first institution of the Lord's Supper. Jesus is just moments away from death. Actually hours. But moments away from being arrested and beaten beyond recognition. He was beaten severely, folks, before he even got the Roman whip on his back. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? His face was already beat. His face was already swollen before he stood before Pilate. Because his own countrymen beat him all night long before they turned him over to the Romans. Yes, own kin folks, the nation of Israel. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Okay, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which you shed, which is shed for you. All right. Emma, we'll close with that one. Communion. Communion brings you to a point where you understand that even though symbolically what you're doing is important, but it represents God sending his Son down here who didn't have to come, but he came because he loved us, because he loves his Father, took on human flesh. And then at a certain point, allow the very people he created and who he sustains their life every day, even after his crucifixion, he still allowed them to remain alive. Okay? He still allowed them to remain alive. His body would be beaten for them, broken. They didn't even know, Chrissy, that every lash that they gave him was for themselves. Amen. They had no idea that when they pierced him, that those drops of blood that came out would be shed for them. They had no idea. The Romans that was casting lots, gambling over his garment, had no idea that they were gambling over the robe of God. No idea. And so, yet he sat there with the 11 men and he told them this. I want you to do something. I want you to do this as often as you remember me. And how was they going to remember him? They're going to remember a bloody pulp on the cross. They're going to remember a lifeless body that's been beaten and broken beyond recognition. And they're going to remember the hose that was in his hands and his feet and the spear mark when it was thrust in his side. And the blood, because the heart sac, that's the sac around the heart that contains liquid, was penetrated. And when a Roman soldier pulled the spear out, the Bible tells you and I that blood and water came out. Okay? If he had not died already, that would have killed him. The infection alone from the beating would have killed him. Okay? But he said, no human takes my life. He said, I willingly lay it down. So he chose to bring his spirit out of his body on the cross because he could have healed himself. Okay? But he chose not to. But the final part, what Moses, what God had told us with Egypt, he said, I will do what? He said, I will strike the firstborn of Egypt. But he said, also, I will cast judgment against the gods of Egypt. The second part of that, striking humans by striking himself on the cross. Are you getting it? And then he went into hell and he struck who? The spirit world. And he walked out with giving him a big blow. He says, when death in the grave could not hold him. Yes. Okay, he did it. He did that. He did it. And so if you turn your eyes up this way, you can bring the lights back on. You can turn that off, Emma. If you want to shift this way a little bit. Come on, Dee. Emma, you did good. Folks, we're at this critical point now for communion where you get the opportunity to observe and to respect what Lord Jesus did on the cross. At the point where you can forget about yourself, you're to denounce your own evil and sinful ways right now before God who's holy. And you're to tell Lord Jesus in your heart as we're about to pray, because the Bible tells you and I that we are not to take the Lord's body in vain. Grab your Bible, please. Thought you were getting out of it, didn't you? And so, so that night, the Lord Jesus Christ took, when he had given thanks, I want you to hold it all this after they pass it out, everybody. to moments that are very sacred before God. Lord Jesus is observing you, observe him. As you pick this up, as you hold the bread in your hand and the wine in your hand, this is a time where you're to concentrate on you and Jesus, not anyone else.
Go to serve the kids.
This is your moment to tell God, I'm sorry for having sinned against you, and truly mean it. And we're not to withhold communion from children or the elderly or any other person, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, do this as often as you remember me. And we're to give you the opportunity to say to God, for you to examine yourself and say, Lord, you know, last night I messed up. I did some things that you were not pleased with. Or last week, or whenever it was. We're to come clean with God right now. And the Bible tells us through the Apostle Paul, when we do that, we honor the body of Jesus. We honor the blood of Jesus by not holding back our sins, by letting our sins be known to him. But if you don't do that, if you don't tell God that you lied to somebody or you stole something or whatever the sin was, Paul is very adamant. He says, when you do that, you are bringing damnation to yourself. And he said, many are asleep among you and many are sick because of it. You know what he mean by sleep? I mean, many have died because they disrespected the Lord's body during communion. So with every head bowed now, every eye closed, I want you to think about your own sins right now. And folks, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity now during communion. So Lord Jesus, I'm here because God brought me here. I'm here to confess my sins to you, to tell you, Lord God, that I've sinned against you and that I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me as I submit to the Lordship of your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I accept you. I know that you're God's Son and that God raised you from the dead. I now willingly and unconditionally surrender my life to you. The moment you do that, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God will come in you and will seal you with his presence. And Jesus will write your name in what he called the Lamb's Book of Life. That on that day when God called his children home by the holy angels, when that trumpet sounds, you and I will be called up to meet the Lord in the sky and to be with him forevermore. So deacons, take. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for you. Please take also of the wine. We represent our Lord Jesus Christ shedding his blood for the remission of our sins. He said, where there is no forgiveness of sin, where there is no shedding of his blood, sin cannot be forgiven. Thank you. So Lord Jesus took the bread and held up and he gave thanks. Father, we thank you for this bread that represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Took and he broke it and he said, eat. Eat all of it. In like manner, he took the cup, the blood of the new covenant. He said, this is my blood that was shed for you. for the remission of sin. And he took the cup in like manner and he gave thanks to God, his Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sin. And then take and drink you all of it. And Ms. Vicki, the scriptures tell us that that night, that evening, they went out into the Mount of Olives and they sang songs together. So I think Chris is going to take and she's going to lead us down the path of the Mount of Olives and sing. All right. Pardon me? All right, Pop, didn't you want to sing?
Yeah, I'm waiting for my daughter to come have me sing.
Okay, what are y'all going to sing?
Run on.
Run on and don't look back?
Run.
Okay, you said run on?
Yeah, run on.
Miss Vicki kind of play with what's going on here. They want to sing. It's for the glory of God. This is funny.
Come on, I got some help. Come on, children's car. Come on, y'all.
You got some help?
Come on,
Pops. You said it. Uh-huh.
Everything. Oh, no, we don't know me.
I'm going to sit down a moment. Seems like I've been standing forever. Cover that back up until we get ready to go. He do good with the mic. With no shoes on. We went from bad to worse.
I made the mic.
What? Okay, all right. Let us
test.
Is the microphone on?
Testing.
We'll be giving an old man his last blessing before God. He's 81 years old. I'm not going to stop an 81-year-old man from wanting to. All right. Let's go.
All right.
Okay,
here, catch you. Testing 1, 2, 3.
It's cold.
Let us say thank you.
Thank you.
Let us say thank you.
Thank you.
Ain't God good?
All the time.
All right. Let us sing. He said, make a joyful noise.
Yes.
Roll.
That's right.
If I roll on, see what the end's gonna be. Pick it up. If I run on,
see what the end's gonna be.
If I run on,
see what the end's gonna be.
See what the is gonna be.
Oh, yes, I am.
See what the
Yes, amen. All the time. Yes, he is. Thank you.
I got a little testimony.
Go ahead.
I remember when I was in the Lake City Hospital. My wife, which is going on, the doctor told her, keep on patting your face. I had a serious operation. Said, if you don't come through in 30 minutes, he ain't gonna make it. I was called to preach, but I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to preach. But after God brought me out, he had his last word. God brought me God's power with the movement. I raised up out of bed. And when I got straight, I couldn't have heard for the Lord. But I would be up there in the pulpit sometimes. I was supposed to preach. I would ask some of the other preachers to preach. Did they want to preach? Because I didn't want to be no preacher. But when God brought me out, I got in a hurry. I went to running on, Brother Long. That's why I like to sing that song. God was able to do all things.
That's right. Amen.
But faith.
Amen.
He said, I never leave you. And I never forsake you.
That's right.
I'll be with you always.
Always.
Until the end of the world.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Some people don't believe that.
I do.
What you need, like the song said, ask God. God got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I thank y'all.